live right now during your lunch hour, and we're going to spend some time with Isabel McGrath, who is a licensed mental health counselor. She's going to help us with all of our mental health problems, right? We're going to be, hopefully, we'll be completely cured by the time we let you leave here in the next 45 minutes or so.
Why not? Anything's possible.
That's right. And it turns out, too, that right after St. Patrick's Day, we would have somebody who was originally born in Ireland.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. We just had St. Patrick's Day on Sunday.
So do we celebrate St. Patrick's Day here differently than in your native Ireland?
Yes, we do. We don't have corned beef and cabbage.
We have
Irish stew.
Oh, okay.
Yes, corned beef and cabbage isn't a traditional Irish dish.
Oh, it's not?
It's not. No, I think when whenever we were here in America, we couldn't afford the beef and the lamb, so we substituted it with corned beef.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So you were originally from Ireland. When did you leave Ireland to come to the United States?
Well, I left when I was about 26.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went back maybe 5 years ago.
Okay.
I went back for a few years.
Yeah.
My family's all still there, so I'm back and forth.
Okay.
I went back and I worked for a couple of years, and then I came to St. Augustine about 3.5 years ago.
All right.
Yeah.
And now, like everybody else, you can't leave.
That's right. I love it here.
It is a beautiful place, isn't it?
Yeah, gorgeous.
Well, Isabel McGrath, of course, a licensed mental health counselor, and she works with a lot of folks here in our part of the world. And she has a degree in psychology from London and a master's in science and counseling from Western Connecticut State University. And obviously, you provide all sorts of therapy and helping people with losing weight and dealing with anxiety and depression and grief and all sorts of things. I bet there's no shortage of work to be done.
Yeah, that's right. I think everybody in this day and age has issues of one sort or the other. It just depends on what degree it is.
Right.
And it's good to seek help, and it's out there. It's available for us, so it's good to take advantage of that.
You're an internationally certified addiction professional, and obviously there's a lot of addictions out there. In our society or in our world here in St. Augustine and St. John's County, what's the most common set of problems associated with addiction that you see on a fairly regular basis?
Well, unfortunately, there's the pill addiction, addiction to pain medication. People start off on it because they're having some sort of medical issue,
right,
and then it becomes an addiction, and they enjoy the energy that it gives them and the high that it gives them, and then when it comes time to taper off, they find it very, very difficult.
Wow.
So pain medication is quite one that's on the rise. Of course, there's alcohol, there's other drugs of choice, but that's the one that's predominant, really.
And what is your sense of success rate with that when people are addicted to Percocet or Oxycontin or those sorts of drugs? I know it's a major challenge, but I guess people can be taken, they can move away from addiction, right?
Oh, definitely, yeah. No, I see it. People recover. They go into remission. It's a way of finding balance in your life, a way of handling stress, a way of dealing with pain in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's other alternatives out there, but it definitely can be done. There's support systems, there's the 12-step programs, there's different supports out there for you, but the counseling's a major part because it helps you realize what's in it for you, what you're gaining for it, and find alternative ways of meeting those needs rather than popping a pill, which is an instant gratification society that we live in.
Right, so you basically help people, find, or develop coping mechanisms or other ways of dealing with things other than relying on a substance.
Definitely, that's it, yes.
Okay.
Coping skills, but it has to be ones that will work for the individual. Everybody's different. It's not one size fits all. We all have different ways of working, and you have to find what fits best for the person.
Okay.
So definitely coping skills is something that I teach people that will fit in easily with their lifestyle.
Okay. Isabel McGrath, once again, is with us. She is a licensed mental health counselor here in St. Augustine, and her telephone number is 806-8840. Isabel McGrath is with us live in the studio, and she is a counselor here in town, a mental health counselor, and helps people with all sorts of issues from losing weight to anxiety, depression, addictions, and grief. You can certainly contact her office at 806-8840, 806-8840. And we've been talking about all sorts of things off the air as well. And, of course, one of the things that you do is help people with just life planning, and you work as a life coach, right? And we've heard that term thrown around, but maybe you can explain to our listeners, you know, here in St. Augustine, if somebody needed a life coach, how would you interact in their life? How would you help them out, practically speaking?
Well, life coaching is extremely practical, like you say. You want to have a goal in mind, and you want to break that goal down so that it's realistic and it's possible. Most people lose faith because their goals are too unrealistic. They don't think it's possible, or it's set too high, and then they're not able to meet it, and then they beat up on themselves, they criticize themselves, and then they start back into the old behavior again. So it's a vicious cycle that they get into. A life coach helps you identify the goal, break it down into manageable pieces, and then plan for how you can look out for obstacles that may occur and be more proactive in order to deal with those. And then a life coach also holds you accountable, in that you check in, see how you're doing, and not from a punitive manner, but to help look at what works and what doesn't work, and then move on from there, rather than ruminating and beating yourself up and staying stuck. We want to move forward and look at what got in the way, and then begin afresh. So a life coach helps you stay on track, helps you formulate goals, and helps keep you accountable and moving forward.
Isabel McGrath is with us here live in the studios, and we were talking about all of the different services she provides, including life coaching. We also see, too, that you have a lot of experience in interpreting dreams, and a lot of people do dream, right, on a regular basis. And is there, I guess there are telltale signs from what you're dreaming that might give some insight into what's going on in your life?
Well, according to Freud, dreams are the royal road to the unconscious. So if you can work on your dream, analyze it, you'll find out what's really going on in your life. But dreams come in symbols. They're symbolic of a feeling that you're having. And that's the place in which we kind of get stuck in, because we think that we tend to take dreams literally, thinking that that's what they mean, when actually there's a deeper level to them. They're much more symbolic than that.
Yeah, so we had, actually Gina McLean was on with us this morning, and she's with Flagler Hospital, ironically, and she said she had this series of dreams where she was a pioneer woman back in the old American West, making her way across the country. And it was almost like a mini-series. You know, every night she'd go to sleep and there would be another episode of what was going on, you know, and it would involve hardship and trying to accomplish things. It didn't really have a lot of violence, just, you know, she could picture herself in the back of a covered wagon or whatever. It had a very Shirley MacLaine kind of feel to it. But what would some kind of dream like that connote?
Well, firstly, you can only interpret a dream if the person allows you to interpret it.
Oh,
so that's the first piece of it. But in general, anyway, if you looked at the dream, we look at how do we travel in life. We travel in cars. We travel in a wagon.
Yeah.
You know, we travel in some way. So you look at your mode of transportation. That tells you how you're moving forward in life. If you're moving easily in life, then it seems like things are going smooth. If you're a pioneer, and that means that would seem like there's more challenges in one's life. So you would look at what challenges are going on in my life. Now, dreams, we have recurrent dreams, but no two dreams is ever the same. They're always a little different. And if you have a recurrent dream, it means that there's some theme in your life that is still current that you haven't worked out. So there's a recurrent theme. That's why you keep getting the same dream that's similar. So the dreams are saying, pay attention to what's going on in life. There's a theme here. See how you can move through a little smoothly.
Right.
So you would look at it in terms of that.
So it's almost like your unconscious is trying to communicate with you.
Yeah. They say it's like letters. Letters coming from your unconscious saying, open me, pay attention to me, read me.
Right.
You know, and if you don't do that, then it gets bored and it stops sending you letters. So people will say, I don't dream. But you do dream. We dream, I think it's 4 to 5 times a night. Everybody dreams.
And how long are those dreams?
But remembering them is the issue.
That is a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah.
What if you have dreams that include violence? What does that connect? What does that tell you?
Well, it's mainly the feeling that you have in the dream.
Okay.
So if there's violence in the dream and you feel okay, well, therefore, there may be something going on in life in which there's a trouble going on, but you're able to step out of it.
Okay.
You're not affected by it. But if you're in the dream and there is violence in the dream and you're frightened, well, you would ask yourself, what's going on in your daily life that's frightening you, that's scaring you? There's something that may be of danger to you that you're not seeing. So always, it's like a postcard that's telling you of a feeling that's going on in your current life. So it's always like a snapshot of what's currently going on. And then you take a look at it and it gives you more insight as to how you truly feel, because oftentimes we can repress our emotions, suppress them. We say, everything's fine, I'm okay, but yet you have these nightmares.
Right.
It's not possible to be having nightmares and everything going okay in your life.
Right.
That's not how it works.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Isabel McGrath is with us, and for over 16 years she's been helping folks with a variety of mental health issues, and she can help you with all sorts of things from relationships to addictions to weight control, smoking cessation, all those sorts of things. You can reach her at 806-8840 over on the island. That's 806-8840, and she provides free consultations. We're live in the studio with Isabel McGrath, and she is a mental health professional. She's been practicing for years and years here in our part of the world, and just ironic that we would have her on so close to St. Patrick's Day, given her perfect and beautiful accent, right?
That's
which you probably
right.
think we have an accent, right?
Yeah, but you know, I think I've got used to it over time, so I have. But no, definitely, you have an accent, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Southerners have an accent.
So now when you go home, back home to Ireland,
yeah.
do they notice that you're somehow maybe developing an American accent? Have they picked that up at all?
Some of the words that I use, it's right. the giveaway, you know, chips instead of French fries, you know, that's the difference. You know, there's certain words, the boot instead of the trunk.
Oh, okay.
There's certain words, vocabulary words that I may slip into having been here in America or whatever. But and the way they speak, you know, they'll say I instead of yes.
Oh, okay.
So I slip back into it again pretty quickly.
And you said most of your family is back in Ireland, so that would include, I guess, brothers and sisters, that sort of thing?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But they come and visit St.
Yeah.
Augustine. You haven't been able to convince any of them to stay here? I mean,
no, unfortunately, I'm the only wanderer.
You're the only wanderer?
Yeah, I'm the only wanderer. The rest of them like to go travel, but they like to come home. But
so your family that you grew up with, were they at all surprised that you would become a therapist, or was that like pretty obvious early in life? Like, were you the young teenage girl that listened to everybody's problems and gave advice?
Well, I guess I was the peacemaker,
trying
to keep the peace, trying to be the mediator, you know, in a big family. When you grow up, you want to keep things at peace, so maybe I got that role early on.
Were you the middle child?
No, I was actually the youngest girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a boy after me, so there is. But yeah, but I'm just more the peacemaker and the mediator, so I guess I just got that role. And I got fascinated with people, you know, trying to, I guess, read them and see what they're going to do next, given that I had six siblings.
And didn't know what would happen next.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting. So when you're in your practice, birth position, like I'm an only child, for example, so I guess, do you notice some common themes, like are all of us only children basically, you know, selfish and everything is ours? And do you find that the middle child, you know, they always wants to please everybody or is looking for attention? Because, I mean, are there really those distinct characteristics based on where you rank in birth order?
Well, there tends to be a general, you know, consensus that that's how they are. But everybody's unique and dependent on the family. But, yeah, you know, when it comes to only children, you know, they don't really learn to share the same. They're not learning how to get along with another child so much. But not every child's like that.
Yeah.
Every middle child isn't always, you know, craving attention.
Right.
They're all different in that way. But there is a kind of a generalization that we do until we, you know, talk with them and see more about their personalities.
So you first get to meet, like, a new patient who's 55 years old. Can you, without them telling you, can you sort of figure out whether they're an only child or whether they were the oldest brother or the youngest daughter?
Well, you probably could infer that.
Yeah.
You could probably infer it given their personality or whatever their issue is.
Hmm.
Say they like to be in control.
Right.
They have a hard time, you know, letting other people lead.
Yeah.
Well, they're probably an elder.
Okay, because they were used to doing that.
Yeah, because they had to look out for the others, usually.
Right.
Yeah, they had to be in control. They were the one that were responsible for the younger siblings, so they've took on that role, so they're more comfortable in that position.
Interesting. Well, one of the other things, of course, that Isabel McGrath is involved with that has had some great success for people in our neck of the woods is hypnosis. And, you know, a lot of us think back to the old TV shows of the 60s and, you know, the professorial, you know, psychotherapist with the, you know, with the pocket watch.
That's
you
right.
know,
yeah.
over the, and mm-hmm. I, you just watch the watch, go
That's
back
right.
and forth. But it's actually a lot more sophisticated than that. So tell us a little bit about hypnosis in the year 2013.
Well, what they're finding is any time you use imagery, you tap into the creative side of the mind. Hmm. And that in itself is hypnosis, because that's what you're doing. You're using your imagination when you go inward. So sometimes people don't use the term hypnosis. They do imagery work, which is all very similar.
Right.
So it is. So we don't maybe need to do as long of an induction, get people so relaxed that to make change. Often you can do it with very light levels of imagination.
So if you were to hypnotize me, are there different levels of hypnosis where I may know what's going on, but then there may be a level of hypnosis where I don't know what's going on, or would I ever know what was going on?
Well, in the 17th century, they performed major operations like amputations of people's limbs that you didn't know really what was going on.
Wow.
So that's really deep. But that's not usual in the practice that I do. You're either light or medium because you're aware of what's happening. You're not at that depth of relaxation.
Right.
And you don't need to be either.
Right.
You don't need to be as deep for it to be effective.
Right. Would so I remember it? Way you do it?
Yes, most people remember.
Okay.
Remember what's occurred. What happens is you go in and out of the trance, so you might kind of, it's almost like dozing off a little bit deeper, and then you might not hear words that I say,
right.
and then as you come up a little bit more, then you're more aware. So people kind of go in and out of the trance state, depending on how comfortable they are, how tired they are. They're, you know, they might be apt to like doze off a little, but you're not in the state that long in which you could be in a deep sleep.
Interesting.
Or having a nap. That's not what it's intended.
Okay. Yeah. And hypnosis, of course, obviously can help with alcohol cessation, you know, bereavement or grief, losing weight. I guess there are other issues, I guess. Obviously, smoking cessation. Can it help at all with drug addictions at all or not?
Yes, it can? Mm-hmm.
Okay. So any sort of behavior, adverse behavior that you're trying to adjust?
Any behavioral change at all. Fear of flying, fear of driving on the highway, fear of traveling in elevators. There's a lot of fears that people have, so it helps work with those irrational fears that we can have. And it can help with making change. Somehow it can push you a little further along the path of making a change. You see it a little bit more clearly when you're in a relaxed, focused state. It quietens down the conscious mind so that you can maybe see things differently, which helps you commit to making a change. Sometimes half the battle is gain. The person to commit to, you know, addressing the issue.
Right.
No matter what the issue is.
That's Isabel McGrath, and she's with us live here on WSOS, and she is a licensed mental health professional here located at St. Augustine Beach on the island. And I guess, too, what you also mentioned this to me off the air, but when you're doing hypnosis, typically it's integrated with how you're providing care and treatment for folks overall, right?
Yes,
it's
that's
not,
right.
It's not a standalone thing. I don't just run in there. You know, you hypnotize me, and I immediately stop smoking, and I run out the door, and it's all over.
No. You know, there's the part of it is the plan of action. What are you going to do when you're tempted?
Right.
You know, we need to be proactive and have thought through these scenarios and have a plan of action. That helps you prepare, helps you rehearse the change that you're going to make.
Right.
So it's really integrated in that the hypnosis is just a part of, it's just a tool that I have if you want to use that. If you don't want to use it, we don't need to use that tool. We can use just other different methods of helping you make change.
That's Isabel McGrath, and of course everything she does, very goal-directed, goal-oriented. This isn't about just having therapy for therapy's sake. I mean, it sounds like you're all about trying to help people get to a better place.
Yeah, I think that that if we know where we're going and we have a plan of action, then we can focus on that and we get much more accomplished.
Yeah.
Sometimes we take on way too much and we get overwhelmed with it and then we give up.
Yeah.
So I find that this tackle one thing at a time, work towards it, and then it gives you momentum to move forward with other changes in your life.
Right.
Yeah.
Isabel McGrath would be happy to talk with you. She gives free consultations. The number 806-8840. That's still a good number, right?
Yes, yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm.
806-8840 here in St. Augustine.